Hello and welcome to another weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast, your home of real beer, real breweries, real opinions. On this episode, we talk Brewtoon and Stuart. Yes, your home of no thinking, drinking, real beer, real breweries, real opinions, the Beer Fridge Podcast. As always, if you listen to this episode, make sure you subscribe, hit that ding-a-ling-a-ling to be notified of all the latest episodes. You can show your official support by heading to patreon.com/Beer Fridge Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, follow as well, and you can get all the latest content as you do every single week. My name is Gavin. I've got my usual drinking buddies in the form of Callum and Scott as well. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good eve.
This week, exciting podcast. We are joined by Joe from Brewtoon, and we've got Nathan from Stuart Brewing. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good evening.
Say that again, Nathan. Oh.
Good evening.
You've got
that. That was a good voice.
I think my microphone must be working then.
Oh, oh
you're good. Very good.
And we've just a new demographic has just increased on the podcast. 100%. Hitting all the bingo points. So yes, we've got Brewtoon and we've got Stuart join us on the podcast this evening. We're going to be talking about their new collaboration, their new blended beer, which is super exciting, and the Project 7 one. I would normally go around the table at this point and see what we're drinking, but surprisingly not, we're going to be drinking the same fucking beer. Gilroy, have you got them both open, Scott?
Yes, I feel like fucking Tom Cruise and Cocktail. Mixing drinks. This is as close as I get to a mixed drink. And I was going to say a Tuesday there. That's how fucked up. throw me one bank holiday and I'm all hot.
So the whole thing goes to shit.
It does indeed. So the sun blessed us in pretty grim Bathgate. For a while today, so this is me getting on the kind of calypso / tropical vibes already, and definitely in a spring, like I suppose enticing the summer out with whatever it's been hiding with these in the springtime. And I'm super looking forward to trying them because it's been a hell of a lot of stouts.
Yeah,
my gut will tell you that for certain. It's been a long winter. A great winter, and I've enjoyed it, but I'm looking forward to getting into kind of more summer style beer. So I've picked up first. I don't know what order I'm supposed to.
But we'll do one at a time, and then we'll blend.
Why don't we get an explanation of the
what are we going to be drinking and then go for it? Aye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joe, joining us from Brewtoon. Let's get your side of this blend.
Yeah. Cool. So today we've got the pineapple grapefruit lilt shake. The idea behind it was, I mean, we miss Lilt. Who doesn't? You can claim that Fanta grapefruit pineapples the same. It's not.
It's not the same.
It's not even a patch on it. So I just really wanted to recreate another soft drink again, as we've previously done earlier on this year. So yeah, we went down the Lassie route, which is something that Stuart Brewing were really keen on doing, which is kind of milkshakey style. But rather than going sour, we decided to go sweet with this one because we wanted it to replicate Lilt as much as possible, but still have a nice malty backbone and still be noticeably a beer. So a bit of fun. Just thought, yeah, big, sweet, juicy vibes with this one.
So that's 100% Lilt, by the way.
Pineapple in a beer is notoriously complicated and complex for various different reasons. So how much of a challenge was that?
I mean, it's something that we've been able to manage quite comfortably. It's not quite core, but we do a pineapple lager that we've been doing since the beginning. So we know what volumes we need to be using to ensure that we're not, you know, pulling through any of those nasty enzymes that are really going to make the beer nasty and churn it up in any way. So it works quite nicely. We do add a tiny touch of pineapple flavoring at the end just to carry it a little bit further. And all that does, literally just a couple of drops, and it just enhances the aroma, and that in turn enhances the flavor of the beer as well. So yeah, pineapple chunks in the boil is what we normally go with, rather than adding direct pineapple puree into the fermenter, because that's right. when you get the proper like nasty astringency, and that's when it really kind of breaks down the enzymes in your mouth. So yeah, pineapple in the boil. Yeah,
is that dried pineapple or fresh pineapple or sort of?
It's frozen pineapple chunks.
Right.
Yeah. So what that does, I mean, there's question as to if this is. If it actually works the same way or not, but it's similar to how in wine they use the frozen harvest and it breaks down the cells of the so when we just have frozen pineapple, chuck that directly into the boil, it just essentially melts it all out into water, and the temperature of the boil just breaks down any nasty enzymes in there that give you that horrible flavor, all the aroma and all the essence from the pineapple from it.
Cool.
Now,
frozen pineapple can kill even the tasty spinach in your smoothie, so that must work.
Yeah, every day's school.
Not that I'm a great smoothie drinker by any stretch of the imagination, but it's in all the frozen Tesco packets that you get for making smoothies. So
Popeye.
Indeed. So that covers the Bruton leg of the collaboration. We mentioned before this is a blended beer, or can be a blended beer, but it's very much too distinct beers on their own, and Stuart's end was more on the sour side. Nathan, tell us about that.
Yeah, so similar sort of idea. Lassie inspired, super fruity, super sweet. Hold up again.
Oh, I can get there you go. What's that? Full production, Nathan.
Indeed.
So yeah, whacked full of fresh mango puree. We put that in during fermentation. And then toasted coconut in the end of the boil. So it's just like we get literally big bags, 750 gram bags of like really nicely toasted coconut flakes, and stick them in big tea bags, essentially big mash filter bags. During the whirlpool, so you get loads of really nice sort of oil extraction from that, which I think comes through on the nose and at the end. And then it's kettle soured as well.
Yeah.
So got a lovely bit of like complex acidity to it without being too much, because the lactose balances out. It's not really, really heavily kettle soured. We could have taken it a lot further and made it, you know, properly sour, but it's quite accessible. It's not super zingy, and it's got loads and loads of fruit in it, as you can probably smell and taste.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's the beer that I've started with. I don't know about the other two.
I've opened both.
I'm planning to pour half the next can into this and then pour the rest into the second glass so that I can get a mixture. But the guys will tell you, I was saying to Joe just before you arrived, Nathan, that the guys will tell you that I was a little bit worried when I seen the sour lassie can. I was like, oh, no. And, you know, because I've kind of went off sours as a style of late. And I felt like, you know, judging it by its cover, which obviously I shouldn't have done, was that 5.5 was a little bit light for that style. It felt like it needed to be a bit beefier, but it's really, really good. I'm properly chuffed, and it's as you said, it's accessible. It's not too sour. It could have been a lot more harsh, and it's really not. But at the same time, the lactose doesn't take over. It's not like unpleasantly sweet. Sometimes when you put lactose in beers, it can really overpower and stuff. But this one's, it's quite well balanced. It's really, you know, the mango's there in spades. It's pleasantly sour, and it's pleasantly sweet, and it's got a great body for, despite it only being 5.5%. It's really substantial. In the glass and in your mouth, it's really substantial. It's delicious. I'm really enjoying this one.
I think the thing with both beers individually, they do exactly what they say in the tin, which is, first of all, is what you want, and you don't want to be let down by a beer picking it up and it says it's going to do X, Y, and Z, and then it doesn't do it at all. So both beers individually 100% do this. Stuart Brewing side, it's obviously a part of your Project 7 range, which we always have held to a higher standard. And I think, Callum, to your point of what you're saying there, it stands up to that of being a higher standard beer from your core range. Not that your core range isn't bad. It's not. We're not saying that at all. We just, for whatever reason, because Project 7 for us is just, we've been experiencing it for, 5 years?
It's at that premium price point. It's the crazy expressions. You get some really fantastic stuff. So, I think it is fair to say that it's like the most premium.
Oh, that one definitely stands up to the test. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as I say, I was really pleasantly surprised. I was all ready to try and be as diplomatic as possible and you know, saying that I didn't particularly like the beer, but it's really, really good. I'm dead and then, for that one.
On the flip side of it, from yourself, Joe, and Brewtoon, let's address the semi elephant in the room. Long time listeners will know that we have mentioned Mango Unchained a few times that we didn't think it was mango enough. However, what I will say is it does exactly what it says in the tin.
That says lilt. It's
fucking lilt.
Like,
thank you very much. You know. It's something that I don't know if I want to say that beer haunts us, if you like, but it's become, over the past year, we've definitely been brewing beers and we've wanted to make sure, as you say, it does what it says on the tin. We've wanted to make beers that are what they say. So with this one, when we came up with the concept of a pineapple and grapefruit beer, making lilt, because initially the original plan for both these collabs was at Stuart Brewing it was going to be a pineapple beer and up at ours it was going to be a grapefruit beer, and you blend the two together to make lilt.
Right.
But then it kind of developed a little bit further and the guys at Stuart were really wanting to use mango and make it a bit more kind of tropically, so the blend kind of became umbongo, if you like. But I was so determined to make lilt, and that's what we wanted to do, so we just decided, we're like, you know what, let's make lilt and let's just not stop at any cost until it tastes like how we want it to be. And we've done that with a lot of our more recent beers. So we released a Mega Sour Plumes and a Sour Plumes beer recently, and they both taste identical to the sweets. I'm actually pouring Mega Sour Plumes. I'm pouring Mega Sour Plumes at Big Swally tomorrow. And it's big, it's thick, it's purple, and it's just a big juicy banger. So you'll be able to grab some of that. I should also have a couple of kegs of the pineapple grapefruit lip shake along with me, but it has just been something we've decided. We're like, you know what? There's so many breweries out there that are making beers that are like, oh, it's got notes of this and it's got hints of these flavors from these particular hops. And we're like, if you open up a can of beans, you want it to be beans inside. Like, why would you not do the same thing with a beer? So that's where the lilt shake came from. We were like, we want lilt. We're going to make lilt. And that's what we did.
Especially,
you've succeeded certainly in the... Sorry, Gav, carry on.
No, you're all right. No, carry on.
I was just going to say, you've succeeded certainly. It smells like lilt. And it's the taste is proper thick. I mean, it's only 4.5%.
Maltodextrin.
It's got, well, that's it. And it's, you know, maltodextrin and the lactose is obviously going to help on that front as well. It's proper thick and I'm getting proper pina colada vibes. You know, you've got, it's boozy, but not unpleasantly so. Does it taste like a pina colada? It really does for me.
Thanks very much.
It's fab. I've not quite tried the blend yet, but this one is really, really nice.
We need to figure out the ratio.
That's what I was going to say. The ratio must be key.
That's something that I love with blended beers. Like, I haven't had many, but I've had, and yeah, working in bars for years, we'd always muck around and blend beers. So it was 6 degrees north Edinburgh, and working with the likes of Ali Mathers, who I know you guys know really well from Barney's, we would just sit and we had 40 taps. We would just blend what we could and just figure out what flavors worked well with each other. And that's what I love about these kind of beers, is that the blend is subjective. So some people prefer more sour, some people prefer more sweet. So the fact that you can choose that blend yourself, rather than it being one beer in a can, that it's like, this is what you're stuck with, this is what you have to drink, you can create it yourself. So personally, I've got a bit more of a sweet tooth. Exactly. Just to figure it out. I've got more of a sweet tooth, but I do prefer a 50-50 ratio. That's just my preference on it.
This place is a star for sure.
I've had some people prefer more of the lilt and a little bit of the mango. I've had the other way around. So we had both beers pouring at Brewdog in Union Square. last weekend, and folk were getting an empty glass. Oh yeah, that bar. It was a launch party. People were getting an empty glass, and they were just making it and pouring it themselves. You can make your own cocktail with it, and it does. Mm-hmm. It's funny you said pina colada vibes, because that's what I get from the mango coconut. I tried this for the first time last week when we first got it in, and it was heavy on the mango and really nice, like perfect levels of sour. And the coconut was just a little subtle, and it just kind of rounded it off nicely. But the coconut has really developed in it, actually, even in the space of a week. Like, I'm getting a lot more from it now. So I'm interested to try the blend after a week, because I haven't done so yet. I've literally done them fresh out of the tank, so we'll see what we come up with.
Both are tasting very, very good. The other thing we need to mention, because it's fucking fantastic, Nathan, this artwork is ridiculous.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Funky as fuck. It lends itself to the beer in terms of, like we said, it's fun. It's fun in terms of you can mix, you can match the beers, you can do the blending, and that fun translates 100% onto the cans as well.
Yeah, so one of the fun parts about Project 74 is getting to do something outside of our regular branding and can design. So working with small independent artists and trying to create something that makes the beer stand out, essentially.
Yeah.
Doesn't always have to effectively communicate what's in the beer. Sometimes it's just a bit of fun. Yeah, but this one, I think, you know, it's got mangoes and coconuts on it. Does a pretty good job. So we worked with Konzo and Global, who are a really cool duo of street artists in Glasgow, based in Glasgow. They did the massive mural in Aberdeen of the seal on the box and stuff. And they've done all sorts of fantastic stuff all over Scotland.
They've done work with Paiute, haven't they?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, they're just all over the place. And I was just chatting to Lewis, who's in our marketing guy, and it's like, well, he really wants to use them. There's two of them, and we've got a little collab going on with two different beers. Yeah. It seemed like the perfect excuse to try and write to them and be like, do you want to make two cool cans for us?
They stand.
The cans are great, yeah. And as I say, it's something completely different to, I mean, the Bruton and Stuart have got their own kind of vibe on their cans, and they're easy to spot and stuff. But these are completely off the wall, completely different. As you say, they're really fun. It's summery. If you're in a bottle shop and you see these cans, you're going to go over and pick them up, and at least have a look and see. I've got
quite nice displayed together as well. The art sort of overlaps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And the artwork, it complements, you know, even though it's new, it's two different designers, that you can tell that they work together and stuff. Yeah, it's really, really good.
It's so much so that the reason Scott's disappeared is he's went to his other half to let her taste the beer. Because this is what she like. He's ran downstairs. Yeah.
She's a fan of the old sours and things like this. I've just tasted the mix, Gav. I don't know if you have.
I've done about a 70-30 ratio, 70% Lil and then 30% Lassie.
Well, this it works so well together. It really does. It's ridiculous. You know the Lil cuts the any sharpness that you're feeling on the sour lassie is really dialed down, and like you say, Joe, you can tell that you've got a sweet tooth because the lactose and the sweetness in the Lilt beer is considerably more than the Stuart one, but everything gets balanced down and they complement each other so well, and it does it. I mean, it's just as you said, on Bongo.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Bongo.
Sweet and sour is just a classic combo, so it's just about finding the balance for yourself, right?
Exactly. And Rogue Reporter update?
Two giant thumbs up for the Secret Reporter. So I have a pretty much solely sour drinker in the house, so I couldn't open sour beers and all that. My partner did taste them and got massive thumbs up. Mentioned Lilt or fizzy juice. Yep, that's Lilt. And really enjoyed the sour side of the mango coconut as well. So both I've been told to order both.
Perfect.
More of both, please, and then I'll mess a bit with the ratio on the stuff. She tried the 50-50 as well, and that got a thumbs up for Mbongo. So absolutely nailed it.
Thanks very much, and it's definitely a win if someone can have a blind taste and go, I know what that tastes like, and then they can repeat on. And as we were saying beforehand, it's such a gamble with blended beers because you don't know what they're going to be like until you finish the product. And we started marketing this from the day that we brewed the mango coconut, which was the second half of the collab. We started marketing them as a blend.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was definitely, I don't know what it was like from your side, Nathan, but from us up in Peterhead, we were very much kind of like, is this a good idea? Is it going to work? It's not like we thought it was going to work. We were pretty, on paper, it did, definitely. Yeah. I mean, pineapple, grapefruit, mango, coconut, boom, all those flavors work so well together. You've got two milkshake beers. Yeah, that should work. One sour, one sweet should work. But what if it doesn't? And we've just spent weeks bigging this up, being like, it's a blend beer. You get three for the price of two. It's incredible. And then we get it and it goes out and it's crap. Like, what do we do at that point?
And then you have numbies like us criticizing it.
It's all subjective. We're really, I think it was Friday night last week when we had the launch parties in both Edinburgh and Aberdeen.
Yeah.
And we had a group chat going for the collab, and we were messaging each other back and forth being like, we pulled it off. Don't know how, but we pulled it off, and it's worked really well. So both of us, both sides of the party, pretty proud of how these ones turned out.
You go, Nathan.
I was quite concerned with the bitterness from your half, because when I've tried different things before, my understanding is that like bitter and sour together can trigger like your body's poison reflex. And you just start gagging. It's not bad for you, but the body thinks it's bad for you, and you just start to gagging. You can't get it down you. So yeah, I was a bit worried about that.
That really would have been nice to know before we made these beers, Nathan. Like, knowing that that is. Oh, cheers for that. Hey, at the end of the day, it's worked. Okay,
why so, like sour IPA hasn't it has taken worked. Off yet? Because it's just like it's just too much of a good thing, right?
Great. All I'm saying is I'm glad we put in as much lactose as we did then.
Well, there's the name of the next beer, Poison Reflex, 100%.
Oh.
Right, let's talk ratios then, Gilroy. What ratio are you working to?
I went 50-50 to begin with. And it's working well. It's definitely Mbongo. There's no mistaking the flavour there. It's absolutely superb. But it's just tropical juice, and it's so welcome. Like I said, the weather's been shite the last couple of days, and it's just the type of thing. Amazon are still tossing out flood warnings at me every time I ask it what the weather's going to be like. So, it's definitely got that kind of sunshine in a glass vibe that you guys were obviously going for. It works as a blend, and it's a tremendous series, and not a novel concept, but I think in terms of how well it works, at the percentages it's at, it's totally drinkable, so you could have a few and try your different ratios. If you were at the launch parties and everything and had both, you could definitely have a couple of goes at doing it and neither be here nor there. So that definitely works. It's pretty accessible for that standpoint. It's not too sour. It's very well balanced, incredibly, incredibly well put together, and you can tell it's been well thought about over a period of months, as you guys said. So it's a collab that works. And as Callum mentioned before, it's one that no worried me. It just only because sours aren't really my jam anymore. But this is a gateway liquid. I'll not say drug. It's definitely a gateway drink back into that kind of right. Okay, let's go and get some fruity stuff in. I'm definitely enticed by the sour plums as well. I'm looking forward to that tomorrow now as well.
Yep.
And it's aye. Like, I wasn't looking forward to finishing up early tomorrow and getting It's one of the first times I've been excited about getting out the other side of the bridge in a while, Callum, as I'm sure you'll agree with me on. So it's a good excuse to visit Fife, particularly for good beer. So that, but this is the artwork, the cans, everything works. It just ticks everybody's boxes, and like I say, and that's a particularly avid sour drinker is also giving it the thumbs up. So you've got the thumbs up for the target audience, and you've managed to pull in a few off the fence. I don't think you can say fairer than that in terms of success.
I think one thing to say about the sour is, and Callum, I think you mentioned it when we weren't recording, it's not a draw your cheeks together type of sour. It's it's a very pleasant,
truly accessible as a sour. That kind of word, that word could put a lot of people off. And particularly kettle souring can sometimes be quite harsh, but as I said, it's really accessible. It's really gentle on the sour.
And the best thing is, if you don't want it too sour, you buy the other version. You top it up with a wee bit of lemon, mix it together. I've lost track of my ratio. I've just been fucking going splosh, splosh, splosh.
I just put a little more of the lilt in. And it hasn't harmed the beer in the slightest.
It's really exactly hasn't. It's exactly what you guys mentioned. It's a third beer for the price of two beers. I'm just whacking, there you go. Put a wee bit in here, a wee bit in there, and the mix is just, it mixes so well.
But going back to what you said about doing what it says on the tin, my 7-year-old just walked past as I was drinking the little beer, and I let her smell the glass, and she says, "Oh, pineapples." So it's like, you know, it's obvious what's in the beer just by smelling it, never mind tasting it. So
it's a cracking collab. Really excited to see. I mean, how's the how for you guys? I mean, you mentioned kind of briefly there, Joe Nathan, from your side as well of the launch date. What was the initial feedback like as well? I can only imagine it being positive, the vibes from what we've said anyway.
Me and a few guys were out in Duke's Bar in Leith drinking it, and I think we sank a whole keg, so I think it went down pretty well.
There you go. That's all right.
Testament to itself.
Yeah.
If you can down a keg, if you can fucking clear a keg by yourself, then
that's
it just speaks to how drinkable it is, because like one of the things that has sort of been mentioned a wee bit is that it's really accessible, but also really tasty. And I think that's a pretty big triumph for something like Project 7, which is at risk of being like a wankiest beer line, you know, for lack of a better term. But this beer is ultimately one that you can, you know, introduce sour beers to people with, or really fruity beers.
Couldn't disagree with that, because like we said there, it's not super sour in terms of drawing your cheeks together, etc. And it's a perfect introduction. If someone wants to try some sour beers, then that's the one to go with. And especially when you can, if the sour is too harsh, even though for beer wanks like us, it's not overly sour. But for some people, it may be, oh, fucking hell, what the fuck's that? That's super sour. But you can tame that a bit with the lilt version.
I love the idea of trying it. I love the idea of going to a bar and having both of them on draft.
So you can so much fun.
I'll have a third each,
or I'll have you know a wee bit and more, and it'd be interesting.
It gets you chatting, engaging with the bartender, with people around you. It just creates more of an experience with the drink.
When we first started talking. To come up with a concept, I think the first thing we talked about was a blended beer. And both sides of the party were like, don't know how to do it, never done it, do we want to do it? And initially it was two sours. And it was only, it must have only been back in like January that we actually decided maybe let's do one sweet, one sour. That way we can have a kind of almost introductory beer to sours. Because we've definitely found, with our range, the sours, the fruity sours, are what a lot of people start with when it comes to beer. They tie themselves into it. But we don't want anything to be, you don't want it to, as you said, don't want it to be too acidic. You don't want it to like screw your face up. You want there to be a nice kind of level. So this one, it's like the sour beer that Stuart's have done is what we're trying to introduce people to, but then the pineapple grapefruit's there to soften the blow and just kind of work your own gradient into it. And you can almost like, it's training wheels for a sour beer, and you can work your way into it. It's the best way of saying it, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
It's essentially that.
I was going to say, can I put my hat in the ring for one, a rebrew of both, and two, a limbo style glass set of glassware, please, with a movable stick for ratio judgment.
Yeah, it's not a bad shirt, actually.
I was thinking measuring tube, and then I thought, nah, fuck it, it's tropical. It's got to be a limbo stick.
an adult version of Kerplunk.
You could just have a tiki glass with a little measure on the side of it.
Aye, you can do that. You can stick it in. But aye, I was thinking.
Sour to hear. Right,
that's here, and you can choose your ratio.
I assume that our loyal listeners are going to be able to access these beers from both Brewtoon and Shoot. So where's the best place to get hold of this collaboration along with the rest of your phenomenal beers, guys?
So that purely depends on your location. So for us, obviously, the way we kind of marketed this was that we wanted all the stockists, our independent stockists, to take both beers at the same time. Mm-hmm. You're really trying to push both of them, which is has led to a lot of conversations between both Brewtoon and Stuart's. We're like, how are we going to do this? Like, how does this work? Do we invoice? Do you? Do we just buy it from you and then sell? Like, what do we do here? And we eventually kind of came to the idea that we're like, well, this blended beer, we want to make sure that both parties are benefiting just as much as possible. So it was a case of Stuart Brewing would go to their customers and say, would you want to buy this? And would you want to buy this from Brewtoon as well? And if you do buy it from Brewtoon, we'll chuck a little bit of money off for you so you can get the pack, because we want to market it as two beers that are a third beer at the same time. And vice versa, we did the same up north in Aberdeen. So from our side of things, pretty much everyone who took our beer also took the Stuart Brewing beer. And from what we gave to Stuart, a lot of the same with them, to be honest, it seems. But we have both beers on our web shop, and so does Stuart Brewing.
Yep.
So again, location dependent. If you're south of Dundee, go to Stuart Brewing, go on their website, they'll get it. If you're north of Dundee, go to Brewtoon, get it from us.
Bob.
We've got mixed cases on the websites. It's available on site as well. And hopefully you can find a decent pub near you as well, which will have at least one on tap.
If they don't have it, it's not a decent pub.
No, that's right.
Well, there you go. Can I ask very quickly, what is it like selling beer with fruit in it? And because some people up in Aberdeen will never have seen a pineapple, so
especially up here when we're in the Arctic Circle in beer heat. Honestly, it's been sunny all day, and I'm looking, it's still ice on the road.
Vinny, by the way, you just got me back there with it's been sunny all day. The sun creeped out for about 10 minutes in West London, so that's about
just enough to give you illusion,
just to make you think something's going to change. So you got me back there, that's fine. I tried a 2-foot tackle and got smashed instead. That's good.
Yeah, he did. Has that like proposing that to your trade and your own trade of having a blend beer being a concept that's been difficult to kind of get over, or the on trade customers kind of going, yeah, that's a good idea, and has that encouraged them? It's something different. We're definitely going to get that in. How has that been for you guys in Edinburgh, Nathan?
I'm not sure exactly how well or a set of people have been, because you're looking at potentially taking up two taps in a highly competitive pub environment.
Yeah.
But I do know that Brewtoon gave us a bunch of kegs and they've all gone.
Well,
they've all been sold into town. So there must be at least three or four places where both have been on tap at the same time. So I think there's been reception, because Edinburgh is such a fantastic craft beer city. There's going to be, you know, at least one or two pubs that will be willing to do that. And that's all you need, because you can get about easy enough if you know where it's
you can definitely take, I mean, the proclivity of bars in Edinburgh means that you're able to take a half pint on the tram and get it topped up with the other one at somewhere else along the line. if it's not both on there, you can either wander across the road or just jump on one of the many public transport links for your one half and get your top up in there. That would be good.
and good
that they've all gone. That's a really good
thing.
But I think it's also in terms of the if you walk into a pub and there is only one on, do not be disheartened because both beers are just, and you find, I've found that way, or know that I've tried a hell of a lot of blended stuff in my time, but that some of the, if one of them's no up to snuff, you feel like you're missing something when not having in there. Whereas I don't think this is the case. If you walk in and you find either on its own, you're going to be just
as definitely great beers on their own.
But getting the full effect that you guys had intended is definitely the way to drink it. So if you're buying it, buy mixed. If you've got the opportunity to do so, and if you're if you're drinking it in a bar, see if you can get it, if you can get the mix and get the blend in and mess about with the ratios, because it's the lilt is good fun, the mango coconut is equally good fun, and it can only lead to more so when you're drinking them blended.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know. I was counting as well. I wasn't even thumbing.
That's going down. But no, I think that's a really important point there to make, Scott, is that both beers individually, if you can only get one, 100% grab it, because it'll be worth it regardless. And same question to yourself, Joe, the prior question that I mentioned to Nathan. How is the on-trade customers taken to that kind of concept of having a blended? Because we never really have a ton. And like Scott said, the last one I had, which must have been about a year ago, if not even longer, I did feel like I was missing the other half of the beer. But when I mixed it, I was like, oh, there you go. There's the feel. That's what the beer should look like. I don't want to feel like with the individual beers that I'm missing something. With these, you aren't. But how have those on-trade customers felt up further north?
It was definitely, it took a lot of convincing. There's absolutely no doubt about that. There was a lot of, so for us, Aberdeen, as of recent years, has been fairly quiet as a city. Yeah. I don't think there's anyone who's under any impression that it's, you know, the same as Edinburgh and Glasgow. And we've got a hefty base of customers up here, and a lot of them are pretty comfortable just sticking to what they know from us. So they'll take a lager, they'll take a pale ale, and it's like, that's the core range. They just stick with that. They're happy with it. So for us, we put a lot more of this into packaged beer, into cans, rather than into kegs. And that's our biggest kind of more open market, is folk that are willing to try all the weird, funky stuff in cans. So again, they're very happy to take one of the beers. Our customers are quite happy to take our beer. But then as soon as we started being like, hey, do you want to take it from this brewery as well? Because you're supposed to blend the two of them together. They're a bit like, blending? There was definitely that kind of like a blended beer. Like, are you sure? Does that mean it's a cocktail? Does it count as a cocktail at that point? Like, it's two alcoholic beverages in one glass. Is that a cocktail now? And you're like, no, it's a blended beer. So yeah, there was definitely a good element of convincing, and there was a lot of confusion from both sides of the sales teams at Brewtoon and at Stewart's. We're like, how do we do this? Yeah. Like, how do we actually tell people we want you to take both beers without sounding greedy? Because there was that element of, hey, you've taken a case, buy another. But we wanted to ensure that we wanted both beers to be packaged at the same time. So there was an idea knocking about as well that we'd send 20 cases down to Stewart's and they'd send 20 cases up to us, and then we'd repackage 6 cans per case. So you'd have a 12-pack of both blended beers. But then we're like, does that work? Will that work? Again, for legal reasons, can we have 2 separate beers in one case and set it off as like a blended package kind of thing? We didn't really know, we didn't actually spend enough time looking into it, because we were like, we're overcomplicating it here. Why don't we just try and tell people take 2 cases and you'll be fine? And majority of folk end up taking 5 cases of each. So we were all right with that. So it wasn't too bad.
It's literally the point you made at the end there. I was going to say, did you find yourself just at a point where you were just like, we're just overcomplicating this? It's 2 beers. If you want them both, buy them both. Bada bing, bada boom.
100%. Yeah, we when we were coming up with the concept of the beer, a lot of ideas are bouncing around, and again, they were overly complicated. The whole let's make one grapefruit sour and a pineapple sour and blend it to make Lil, and all these different things. Like, we tried to recreate an actual drink with two separate beers to recreate a specific third one. Whereas we were just like, why don't we just make a tropical juice?
So that's like, probably like to what I was saying before with a blend that I've had previously, where I felt like an aspect individually was missing. Like if the blend itself was going to be Lil, like the both individual bits, probably you would have felt, oh fuck, I'm missing that side of it, I'm missing this side of it, and then you put it together, and go, oh yeah, that's
definitely, I think it was it was years ago now, but it was a very well-known Welsh brewery for their 8th birthday released 8 separate beers that were all designed to be blended together, and it is exactly what you said. You had one, you're like, it's not quite there, and then you had the other one, again, same thing, but you put the two together, and you're like, oh, that's the full picture. You've got two halves of the puzzle, and then you put it together, and that's it there. Whereas with these ones, we're like, why don't we just make two not overly similar beers, but flavors we know would work well together, so that they are standouts as they are alone, and then when you put them together, you get something completely brand new. And so that's why we were quite happy with just being like, if a certain stockist wants to take only one, we're not going to be offended, because we know that is still quality product.
Works on its own.
From Stuart's side, obviously you've put the Project 7 badge on this, so assumingly from Stuart's side, you wanted to make sure that the beer individually was up to that standard, regardless of the blending, before you even released it.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it's part of our premium line. It's part of Project 7. We're not gonna do anything in that series if we're not 100% sure of it. Yeah. We taste them all often, even the stuff that's on the shelves as well. Making sure it's still holding up, and you kind of have to be cutthroat with it, because if it's not, you know, a 9 or a 10, maybe an 8 out of 10 beer, it shouldn't be on the shelf next to stuff from our friends, you know, our collaborations, the other artists that are on that shelf. You can't bring the series down. So,
no,
yeah, we've got to be 100% sure of what we're putting in. To any Project 7, and this is no exception, and more so probably good because it's a collab, because you know you're working with your friends, you want to do your best.
Mm-hmm. It's well, incidentally, like we said, it's two beers and you get a third one free, and almost that lends itself as well. You've got the two breweries, and the third aspect of it is this amazing artwork, so you're getting the three amazing elements to the beer, the artwork, the breweries that are involved that are coming up with these individually really good beers. Artwork looks fucking awesome, and you mix it all together and you get a fucking fantastic beer that tastes like that. I think I can safely speak for Callum and Scott in saying this has worked.
100% it's worked. It's a triumph, I would say, in terms of that. It's just so easily. Like, and you could toss all the bingo words you like at it. It's, you can smash, crush, sesh. I mean, we've spoken with Bilko before about could you sesh it 100%. I think Nathan and he's made the other day kind of attest to that. You can sesh it vociferously. And I know that if there's any kegs that appear in Fife tomorrow, Callum and I'll have a damn good go at it as well. So
that leads on nicely to some of the kind of closing final notes. Is individually as breweries, Joe, you mentioned off recording that you'll be going to Big Swally. What are you going to be bringing to Big Swally that the guys can get themselves involved with, and other things that we can look forward to from Brewtoon as well?
Yeah, so we've got a lot planned for this year. I think 2024 is very much an exciting year for Brewtoon. We finished 2023 on a high, and things just keep growing and growing and growing for us. So we've got some big collaborations coming up with some very well-known UK breweries. I mean, I'm not really going to announce any coming up, because I don't want to spoil too much. No spoilers.
You can tell us tomorrow.
I'll tell you guys tomorrow. We've got some pretty fun stuff coming up. But so Big Swally, tomorrow in Dunfermline, we're bringing along the Mega Sewer Plumes, which has been probably our most successful sour to date in terms of ratings. I mean, it's scoring over four out of five on Untappd, and it's absolute juice. It's a smoothie sour.
That's a super duper gold medal for a sour, is it not?
I know. It's which
how many times out of 100 do you get don't like sour beers?
Yeah,
2 out of 5.
This one just
absolutely hate sour beers. Don't know why I picked this up. One,
you're talking about particular here, but it's an absolute quality beer, and I'm really happy with how that one came out. And yeah, big smoothie vibes to it, so it's still got a lot of pulp suspended in it. It's super thick. You think the Lilt Shake is thick, this one comes out like a Mr. Whippy out of the Linder machine. It's just ridiculous. We've got a double IPA we did in collaboration with Chainhouse from Preston. So we've got a couple of kegs left over that. So it's an Idaho 7 double IPA. And it's tasting absolutely stunning. I'm also bringing along one of our Rattlers. Last year we became very well known for our Rattlers. So I thought, let's bring something just light and easy for Big Swally, because I know with the likes of Vault, Neon Raptor, Track Brewing, Overtone, these guys are all going to be bringing the heavy hitters. So
yeah.
I thought I'd bring along some hydration isotonic fluid for everyone.
And you know the sun's going to be out.
Exactly. Yeah, it's Dunfermline. Sun is always shining on Dunfermline.
A wee palate cleanser.
Yes.
Exactly. So, and again, an award-winning beer. So we thought we'll bring that one along. And an Imperial Stout, because why not? So to complete opposite end of the spectrum, we brought along Wired to the Tune, which is our highest rated beer of all time. I think it's scoring 4.27 currently on Untappd. It's a caramel macchiato Imperial Stout. And I can neither confirm nor deny whether we currently have 150 litres in an ex-rum and bourbon barrel ready for launch this year.
Okay.
So that one's going to be pretty impressive. I've got a couple of cans as well. That'll be very long. Oh, that's 10.2. It's 10.2 currently. So, there you go. I've got a few cans I'll be bringing along as well. So I've got a couple leftovers, our Brew York Cola, which was our gingerbread, tonka, marshmallow, vanilla Imperial Stout. So I'll bring some of those along for you.
Lovely.
Yeah, we've got there's a lot of interesting stuff planned for this year. We've got a whole sheet in the brewery listed of our crazy ideas. And I think, we just decided this year to kind of basically say fuck it, let's just do what we want to do. Like, we've been for so long, we've been a brewery to try and recreate what we think is the next best-selling thing, or following the crowd and doing what everyone else is doing, whereas we've just decided, we're like, you know what, we like making stupid sours, we like making sweet shop style beers, we like making Imperial Stouts. Let's just do that. What's stopping us? So, yeah.
Let's have fun.
Definitely keep an eye out for some of the stuff we've got coming this year, because, it's a big year for us.
Exactly what you said there, Nathan. Have fun.
And what about Stuart, Nathan, of what's on the horizon for Project 7 and for beyond? Obviously, you're going to continue bashing out the core stuff, which is tremendous. I have to say, before we crack on with that, I had a pint of the Nitro 80 Shilling in Bohemia. Oh my days.
You like it?
literally when he's shut up about it.
It's just perfection. In fact, I'm a member at a local bowling club, and my dad happens to be the club president. I'm looking to try and get a hold of kegs of Nitro 80 Shilling to pour at the bowling club.
Fantastic.
We're maybe going to need to chat about that.
yeah, absolutely. We can do it in a key keg as well, and that way you don't need nitrogen to dispense it necessarily. You can do it with compressed air or CO2. I had a look at that, because we had some people who don't, you know.
No one else in the bowling club is going to buy that apart from
not 100%. They will.
They're
besters. They're the best.
Indeed.
Yeah, we've got some exciting stuff coming with the core range. Changing some stuff around. New hops coming in and coming out. It's a big bad world of brewing out there, and we've got to try and adapt and roll the punches on something. So, like Citra Blonde, just got a massive overhaul, and I think that's tasting absolutely fantastic now. Project 7, think next release is going to be a Radler, which is in association with a local soft drinks company, which I'm really, really excited about. We've bought a pasteurizer specifically for it, so that's pretty fun. So I hope it goes well. We just finalized the recipe for that the other day. Been working on it for like close to a year now, probably. So that's really exciting. So no pressure, but we'll see how it goes.
That's a competition with the Radlers, it seems, eh?
Yeah, but they're hopefully different enough. Yeah, like you said, yours is a collaboration with another local soft drinks company as well.
Summer House Soft Drinks in Fraserburgh. So
they're fantastic guys. So it's very much along the same sort of, same sort of idea.
Yeah,
but with a different spin on it because it's all Edinburgh stuff instead.
Good.
Yeah. We've got some just collabs. Like, what's that? Sorry.
I was just going to say, after talking to you guys in the collab day, like, and hear what you guys have got planned, I'm really excited to see what's coming out of Stuart's this year. After speaking to Craig and Sid and you guys telling us all that's coming out, I'm buzzing for.
Yeah. It's Craig and Sid and I are just really hyped about all the different collabs we can be doing. Some of them are changing as we speak. We're looking at doing stuff with other Scottish breweries, potentially not Scottish breweries, funky ingredients, traditional beers. There's all sorts of different things that can happen. We're hopefully going to do some more barrel aging this year as well.
Yes,
we're
please.
Starting to get good at that. I don't know if you guys have tried the Gianduja yet. I think we sent a few bottles over to you.
Have I?
Potentially on their way.
I probably either have or I've forgotten.
That was a chocolate hazelnut barrel aged stout, so hopefully that finds its way to you soon.
Yeah.
We're going to try and do more of that because
just got me excited.
The more we read about barrel aging is that the more is better, generally. So
yes.
The more
we
can do, the better it will get.
Yeah.
I need to ask Nathan. One hilarious video. Two. You actually need to now brew it because I think it's just such a funny idea. The haggis stout.
So actually,
as it sounds,
there was no props in that video. In terms of the haggis stout, I got a big glass full of haggis and I poured stout over it and I drank it. And I think it was one of the most repulsive things I've ever tasted.
Did that set off the poison trigger? It did.
I could not keep it in my mouth. I have like an involuntary spit out reaction in the video because it's like I just could not tolerate it at all. So it's chocolate orange, so a chocolate and orange stout
with haggis,
little pearls of haggis suspended in it. So you get the carbonation on your tongue as well as the individual like balls of meat and fat and oats.
Is that not the Scottish version of boba? Is that
Boba. Really, really cannot like stress how disgusting that was.
Boba.
And Lewis made me do multiple takes as well.
Obviously,
he's winding you up.
He was doing it with me, so you know, fair enough. But I could not tolerate that at all.
there was a beer that was made that they initially it was for a football TV show. They approached us and asked if we wanted to do it, and it's a Bovril beer that got made, and it's actually beefy.
That was so good.
I think it was Drygate that did it in the end. But they were like, oh, do you think you guys could make that? And I was like, really? Like, you want a cold, Bovril, fizzy, beefy beer? And
Bovril Nitro 80.
That's what they wanted. Yeah, so I don't know. Must if you could maybe replicate that with your haggis beer, just make it a bit spicier.
What about a Bovril Rauch beer? A bit of a smoked beef.
It already tastes like smoked sausage anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Love it.
See if you think about, like, obviously, the idea of putting actual haggis into a beer is pretty repulsive, but like, see if you think about the spices and stuff that are in haggis, like black pepper,
I think someone has
nutmeg,
done a spice
coriander
one.
You know, all these things don't sound out of place in a beer, so mm-hmm. there's definitely something in that. You know,
if you do want to try something a bit out there, we've just released a beer, I think it was last month, with the Royal Botanic Gardens, which is one I brewed for them using pine needles, marigold flowers, and coriander seed instead of aroma hops.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that's like super, super different and flowery and spicy. So I'm keen to do more with that. Just that whole, it's a whole realm of different ingredients. And some guys in the team are really like, used to be really into cocktails. So they've got a really fantastic understanding of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like black pepper is just, you know, it's the guy, right?
In Scotland.
Absolutely. Yeah. King of spice.
Not to bring the good vibes down, but I'm quite good at doing that, to be fair. Obviously, we've lost a ton of breweries and stuff already at the start this year. How from a brewery's perspective, how actual difficult is... We're on the outside of it. The three of us, especially. Callum does a wee bit of homebrewing. Me and Scott, we are really good at drinking beers. And Mark is obviously, he's inside the brewing world as well, working with West. From your guys' point of view, how actually fucking difficult and how scary is the industry at the moment? Joe, I'll take you first.
It's definitely difficult. It is, and there is this looming fear above anything you do that, because it becomes this thing where, like, every single bag of malt, you look at it as like you're pouring pounds into this big tank. And everything you do is going to cost you money, whether it be duty cost, whether it be can cost, whether it be label cost, labor cost, everything has a fee to it. And it's a bit disheartening sometimes that you'll send out a beer and you'll sell a beer and the money that you get from it, you're like, right, I'm getting one single payment from this product, but I've had to pay 20 different people to even make this product. So there's definitely a little kind of, it's difficult. It is, I'm not being about the bush. It's hard. Yeah. This is a difficult industry to be in. And there is always a worry that something bad might happen that is going to just completely, you know, turn off like a light switch.
And do you find doing these collaborations with the likes, and I'm by no means do I mean this as an offense at all, with the likes of Stuart, who are a name that are in supermarkets and that are a bigger brewery, is that something for you guys that just you look towards those because, like, it's Stuart, they've got a name, they're in the supermarkets, etc. People know Project 7, X, Y, and Z. So that should, in theory, help with the beer and the revenue coming through for that beer.
100%. Couldn't have said it better myself. There is, Stuart Bruin approached us at the Midsummer Beer Happening Festival last year in Stonehaven and asked if we wanted to do a collaboration. We jumped at the opportunity because they're one of the most respected breweries in Scotland and have been since, 2004? Yeah. 2004, 2006, when you guys started out. Have been the dominant craft brewery, dominant decent craft brewery in Scotland for a number of years. And I've always respected them as a Heriot Watch student and had good connections with the guys. And we knew that this was going to open the doors for Brewtune to a lot more people that may have never heard of us. And it's something that I think collaborations are really good at, and they're especially the power of social media with this sort of thing. So you've got likes of collaborative posts and you're opening it up to not only your followers, but maybe like with Stuart Brewing, however many thousand followers more that they've got than up, they're opening up the doors for that. There may be, you know, the little Peter Heeders that have never heard of Stuart Brewing because they just know about their local brew that have now been opened up to their side of things too. So it works both ways. And there's always one brewery that's going to be bigger than the other. And I think that's what it's all about, is ensuring that, like, we've done collaborations with people who we know are smaller than us, but we wanted to help them. And in turn, we are getting help from larger breweries, likes of Stuart and Vault City, who we did a collaboration with last year, in Brew York as well.
Yeah.
They've kind of taken us under their wing and helped us out and got our beers further afield, which that makes it all worth it. The struggle that you have in the brewing industry and how you just worry about how expensive it is and whether you can find people that are reliable to do this job. And it's a slog at times. It's so much fun. I would not trade this job for the world. I love this industry. I've been in it for years.
Yeah.
But there are days that you kind of come home and you just sit on the end of your bed and you're like, this is just ridiculous. Like, I have back-breaking labor and I'm not getting anything out of it. But then you see like, so last Friday when we had the launch party, people talking about the beers, and even tonight you guys saying that you're enjoying them, it just, it does make it worth it, and that's why we do this. So yeah, having a collaboration with a brewery like Stewart's has definitely opened more doors for us, and it will continue to do so. So thank you, Nathan.
Same for yourself, Nathan. Obviously you guys have made a commitment to going fully green with all the new equipment and stuff you've got as well. Like, doing, as I mentioned, Brewing World isn't the most cheeriest, for lack of a better word, but it's these collaborations obviously that one just make it fun again as well.
Yeah, it has been really tough at Stewart's. I don't know if it's been more tough or less tough than other breweries, but there's been some big blows that we've had. Stuff like being in the supermarkets might not be such a thing for us going forward with certain retailers. I think they're tightening a lot of their belts, and that ultimately feeds down into us. So we're trying really hard to gain contracts, but there's been some restructuring in the business and a lot more shift focused towards the on-trade, which is potentially really exciting.
Yeah.
Especially as like a massive cask giant in Scotland. It's kind of what we're good at.
Yeah.
So there is a light, you know, a silver lining to these stormy clouds, but I won't say it's not been pretty rough. Like December, especially in January, was not looking too hot. And like you said, we've committed a lot with spend on stuff like the green energy systems. And that's potentially allowed us to continue operating through some of these times as well, because we've got lower overheads in some of these areas.
Yeah.
And then we've also diversified enough with the retail offering that we were able to support the brewery through some of these moments when the pubs and the supermarkets are tightening their purse strings. So, yeah, it's the people of, you know, Lone Head who come out to the brewery that keep us going sometimes, and that's important to recognize. Because
you mentioned there the cask. What the one I want to make sure I mention is your latest release, your April cask, the Jester IPA, which if you go on the social media page, you can have a little glimpse of the video in regards to the hops and stuff. We as a podcast as a whole are massive advocates for cask. Me and Mark had a conversation on just the modernization of cask and what that looks like. Give us a little insight into that. Obviously, your new Jester IP, which is released or is about to be released.
Yeah, it's been out. It's probably almost all gone at this point. It's brewed in collaboration with Charles Farham, who we have been working with for 20 years now. They've been with Stewart since the start, so they're absolute giants. They've been going since like 1874 or something, like
just a wee while. An
incredible amount of time they've been growing hops, and they've struggled too over the last, you know, few decades. They've seen the rise of American hops, the interest in English hops all but drying up.
Yep.
So they've completely swiveled their business around and started pumping out these incredible new varieties that we're really excited to work with. So yeah, Jester's one of those, and cask beers kind of like the perfect vessel for a modern crazy English hop to just sort of turn stuff on its head, really. We're using their hops in a lot of our beers now, because they're so wonderful. They've got such fantastic aroma qualities, and they're much lower in emissions. So we're trying to use them as much as we can across the board. But yeah, it's really, really, really fun when we get to actually highlight their usage and really go hard on being like, yeah, this is a product with proper terroir. It's got, you know, as much flavor as any American or New Zealand or Australian hop, and it's from down the road. So yeah, that's a really exciting
one thing we probably don't do enough in this country, and Callum and Scott, you're probably testament to this, is we don't champion hops that we grow here. Like, it's not, we've we grow decent hops. Like, we make decent beer. Like, that's fucking...
Britain's got one of the oldest and most established brewing traditions in the world. It's like
why are we
not growing hops forever? But it's just people have fallen out of love with traditional English styles and traditional English hops that taste like the woods. And there's plenty of hops that taste like the woods.
Yeah.
And people maybe wanted to taste something different, and that's why craft beer sort of started. So, but now hopefully it's moving back.
We started off in the woods. We went to the flowers. now we're going to go in somewhere.
It's gone as tropical as it can go. It's time to get the pine and the everything else back, the bitter and that resinous flavor back. It's
time for gooseberries and lemon verbena and all these fantastic like English hedgerow fruits to shine.
Yeah, exactly. We're capable of
producing.
Yep.
Exactly. Joe, from a Brewtoon perspective, where is the best place if someone's listening to this podcast to get hold of your beer?
I mean, several places. Any decent independent bottle shop will stock us. Besides our web shop, we ship all across the UK, mainland UK. In Edinburgh, again, like sort of Leith Bottle Shop, Cornelius, these guys are big supporters of us and have been for a long time. Glasgow, Valhalla's Goat, Cave, basically anywhere in Kelvin Grove, we've got a massive market along that side. So yeah, all these guys have been big supporters of us. So if you want to get a hold of them, check out your local independent bottle shop. If they don't have us, ask them to get in contact with us and we'll happily supply it. Like, we're always happy to, we deliver direct all across Scotland. So we're more than happy to chuck you guys some beers, but besides that, just go give us a shout in the web shop and we'll sort you out, no bother at all.
Yep, like I said, head over to brewtoon.com. Nathan, same question yourself. Listeners of the podcast, long time listeners should already know because you've been on enough times that they should fucking remember the website, but remind new listeners if they haven't already, where can they grab hold of some Stuart?
www.stuartbrewing.co.uk is going to have the largest and most complete selection. You can visit us on site as well. You can come have a chat to me and I'll give you some beer as well. So, you know, nice little bribe for you. And then bottle shops across Edinburgh, various different larger retailers as well. Some supermarkets got different offerings across the board. And pubs, and that'll keep us going the most. If you can go drink us at a pub, get a pint of 80 shilling, and then, enjoy it. That helps out most.
I think Callum and Scott will be a testament to the pizzas as well.
Oh,
yep, absolutely.
Pizza on site.
We've got a pretty good special on at the moment with like spicy pork mince, gherkins, lettuce, sriracha mayo. It's like a dirty hamburger on pizza. Oh,
lettuce on a pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extra crunch. Oh, and crispy fried onions.
I don't know about that. Like, that's quite dangerous.
Says the guy that commissioned a grapefruit and pineapple.
Yeah, okay, you got. Yeah, fair enough.
Good pairing.
At least they put pineapple on the spicy pizza.
But, well, that's true. That's true. But aye.
Go for it. I'll give you that.
As the guy had mentioned, head up with brewtoon.com. Head over to the website and check out some of the beers. Same with Stuart, stuartbrewing.co.uk. Head over to the website and you can pick up some of the beers direct off the website. Why the fuck not? And just genuinely, this is not blowing smoke up anybody's ass, but by all means, pick both these beers up because you'll enjoy them individually. And then when you mix them, you'll enjoy it even more. It's a lot of fun. Tons of fun.
It's a sensation far better than having beer fucking related to crisps or gravy or anything else. If you want to have fun,
I'm using their glass at the moment. So,
if you want to have real fun with a beer, go and get something that's fruity yet well made. And try these.
Thanks very much.
If you've had real fun, listen to the home of real beer, real breweries, a real opinion, the Beer Fish podcast. Make sure you have subscribed and you've dropped us a 5-star rating. Much appreciated. If you're watching on YouTube, do the same. Subscribe, hit the bell. You'll be notified of all the latest episodes. You can show your official support by heading to patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. You can get access to exclusive content and some homebrew, which should be nearly enough ready, to be honest, from Mark and the team as well. patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. From myself, Gavin, from Callum and Scott, Joe and Nathan. Oh, what a laugh. That was good fun. Thoroughly enjoyed it. The beer is tippity top. Until next time on the Beerfish Podcast, cheerie bye.